On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When they heard these words, some in the crowd said, "This is really the prophet." Others said, "This is the Messiah." But some asked, "Surely the Messiah does not come from Galilee, does he? Has not the scripture said that the Messiah is descended from David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David lived?" So there was a division in the crowd because of him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him.
Good morning. It's good to see you all. Wasn't that a wonderful film of the river? Fantastic. Thanks, Gemma.
That's right.
Now, I'm just wondering how many people have been camping this year? Great. Right. Great. Good. Lovely. Okay. Right. Well, this year, more people than usual have gone into the loft or their garage and have dragged out their camping gear. Or perhaps they've even invested in a top-of-the-range mansion tent. Recently, I was invited to spend a few days camping with my family. Now, it is a very long time since I've been camping. Anyway, we got ourselves organized, and we had three socially distanced tents. What a lovely place, I thought, as we arrived, only 14 miles away, looking down onto Chew Valley Lake. It was at East Hartree, fantastic site, I can recommend it. And it's got some alpacas there as well, if you like alpacas. Anyway, holiday was in the air, and the children were having a marvelous time, running around, enjoying the freedom and the sunshine. It was lovely. But during the very first night, Storm Francis hit us. We obviously hadn't done our research very well, and our tents blew down. The campsite quickly emptied. Now, each year at harvest time, the Israelites got out their camping gear. Not quite like ours, but suitable for their much drier conditions. They were not expecting Storm Francis. And so they built sort of shelters or booths with rushes. They'd pack up and make preparations as they set off for Jerusalem. They did this every year. I wonder if it was a bit like spring harvest, a wonderful opportunity to restore faith and fellowship. This festival lasted a whole 7 days, so they did it thoroughly. And each day, the atmosphere would become more electric. Jesus had decided to visit this festival, but he had to be strategic. So he didn't arrive right at the beginning. He knew he would stir up conflict and controversy, and he had something very important he wanted to say at the climax of the festival, at the end. He must stay the course. The festival was a harvest thanksgiving. It was about remembering God's provision in their many years in the wilderness. They must never forget their dependence upon God. Hence the camping. Each year, they would remember how God provided for them in those years, and how they once lived. Since then, life had become much more secure and comfortable with permanent houses. They were living in the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. But God had warned them that when they reached the promised land, it would be so easy to forget him. So their festivals were designed to remind them about who they really were and where they'd come from, their roots. In deserts, as we've just realized, water is extra important for survival. Important for us too, of course. But in this country, we're used to plenty of rain on the whole, sometimes far too much, that we tend to take it more for granted. But this year, however, for many weeks in the spring, we had no rain. It was beautiful, it was really lovely. But for farmers and gardeners, it was a bit of a problem because they had to do lots of watering. And also, during those days of lockdown wilderness, we wondered about our food supply. There were shortages. Would we have enough? So some of us managed to get hold of some seeds. We planted seeds and we watered them every day without fail. The Israelites in the wilderness had known what it was to thirst. In fact, they became so thirsty at times and so anxious about it that they persuaded Moses to take some dramatic action, and he struck a rock so that water would flow out of it. A significant part of this festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, was about water. So as well as the camping, there was some drama centered on water. They didn't have a sort of river or a video or anything like that, but they had to think of something else. And they were very good at their dramatic visual aids. So each day, the priest would lead the people to the water supply for Jerusalem, the Pool of Siloam, a very valuable source of water. And there, he would take some kind of golden pitcher, couldn't manage gold, so we've got silver, and he would fill it, he would dip it in and fill it, and then he would take it to the altar and he would pour the water over the altar. And there were sort of pipes, conduits, and the water would flow down the conduits and symbolically, at least, would begin to water the wilderness outside Jerusalem. When he put his pitcher into the water in the Pool of Siloam, he had some words that he would say. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And then when he poured the water over the altar, he would say from Psalm 118, O Lord, save us, grant us success. Now, going back to chapter 4 of John, we're now on chapter 7, there is a marvelous story about a woman who visits a well in the heat of the day. Jesus had arrived at this well, the well of Jacob, with his disciples after a long and tiring journey, and he was thirsty. So he sat by the well while his disciples went off to get some food from the local village. As he sat there and the woman drew close and came to the well, she had something that she could draw water with. So Jesus turned to her and he said to her, please, will you give me a drink of water? When he had the water, he said to her, everyone who drinks this water i.e. the water from the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So on the last day of the feast, Jesus, perhaps recalling this episode, and with the focus on water, I guess he had water on the brain, all through the week, stands up and audaciously cries out in a loud voice, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Now, I wonder if you could imagine yourself as one of the crowd watching all this and listening to all this. This was a bit different. I wonder how you might have responded. Would you have suddenly woken up? Would you have been shocked? Would you have been kind of jolted? Did it make you think? Might you have started thinking, what on earth is he talking about? What does he mean? And then you just might have thought, well, I do need something. I'm not completely satisfied with my life, and there is a spiritual thirst within me. I came to this festival with high hopes of meeting others and finding new meaning to life. I've been looking forward to it all year. I've watched all the ceremonies, and it has been great. But isn't there something more? Something that will reach the parts that are still dissatisfied within me? Perhaps they remember Psalm 42. They were very well educated. And it famously says about the thirst that all of us can experience. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Now, I find that it's in deep encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, often after having to wait patiently for him and after a time of thirst, that I seek him. And I meet him. And he brings me new life. I'm revived. I sometimes do feel like a drooping plant, badly in need of some water for my roots. The woman at the well encountered Jesus in a deep way that day, and her roots were watered. She revived, and with new energy in the heat of the day, went back to tell others about the encounter. "Come and see," she said. "Come and meet him, and you will find for yourselves the one for whom you've been waiting." That day, Jesus, who had been so tired and thirsty, and perhaps a bit disheartened, was encouraged by the souls he saw in that place, ready for harvest. He was bringing in a harvest of souls with joy and thanksgiving in his heart. It was a harvest truly worth celebrating, and he was totally renewed and revived. There's a lot more to that story, and you could read it for yourselves. Why don't you find a Bible and read John chapter 4 for yourself today? And perhaps you could make a prayer or two as you go. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, our thirst quencher. Amen.
Thank you, Hazel. As Hazel said, we're going to continue to meditate on what we've heard. There's going to be a worship video on the screen. It's a song called God of Justice by Tim Hughes. And there are some words in there that I just always find really powerful when I hear them. It's fill us up and send us out. And I think we need both of those things all the time. We need to be being filled up by the water, the life-giving water that God wants to bless us with, filled up with the Holy Spirit and sent out to be witnesses to God in the world. So why don't you reflect on those two images of being filled up and sent out as we watch this video. And then we're going to continue in prayer after that, and Kezia and Ella are going to lead us.
stand beside the broken, must go. From just singing, move us into action. We must go.